This morning's Hebrew reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, selected verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For shadows shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, the Magi set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, as we talked about with our young people this morning, we celebrate Epiphany. Granted, it's a little early. Epiphany actually falls on January 6th, this coming Friday, as we talked about. But next weekend, we're on to Jesus' baptism. So today, Epiphany, it is. Which actually fits quite well when you remember that Epiphany is part of the Christmas story, as our children have redecorated our manger and as we just read about. The celebration of the Magi arriving to honor baby Jesus is what Epiphany is all about. Now, the general story portrayed is of three wise men, or kings, as we sung about in our opening hymn today. And tradition gives them each a name and a different country of origin. But all that we actually know from Scripture is that they were Magi, a Greek word meaning astrologers, possibly magicians. That's where you get the magi of the magician. And that they came from the East. The scholarly educated guess as to their origin is that they were either from northwestern Persia, since Magi is also the name of a people group who lived there, the ancestor of the modern-day Kurdish people, or that they were from the Arabian Peninsula, based on where the gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have been sourced at that time. The three comes from the fact that Scripture mentions those three gifts, but there could have been three, or there could have been 30. Three fit a lot better on Christmas cards and in nativity scenes, though. And it's entirely possible that some of them were women, since in Greek, the masculine plural noun magi can refer to either all men or to mixed company, similarly to how men used to be used in English to refer to everybody. Indeed, according to renowned Gospel of Matthew scholar, Dominican friar Benedict Thomas Viviano, the closest parallel to and likely origin story of the Magi's visit is that of the Queen of Sheba, who also comes from afar bearing gold and spices to visit a king, the legendarily wise Solomon, who is one of Jesus' ancestors to whom the gospel writer wanted to draw a favorable comparison. So you can hear some of those echoes there and suddenly think, huh, there might have been some wise women in there too. So not so much we three kings of Orient are as we multiple magi, potentially women as well as men, of Persia or perhaps Arabia are. Doesn't have quite the same ring, does it? But the point of the story remains the same. These learned travelers saw a sign that God was up to something new and followed the light to discover what, or rather who, it was. As advertised during All Ages Together, we're starting a new tradition this year, although it isn't brand new so much as new to us. For the past decade or so, no one's quite sure how it got started, the practice of giving out star words has been spreading through mainline Protestant churches. On the Sunday before Epiphany, stars with a generative, possibility-filled word on them are handed out at random to the congregation, and we are invited to refer back to that word throughout the year, keeping an eye out for how God is speaking to us through that word. This might sound simplistic or even a little gimmicky, but it turns out that congregations who give it a go often find the practice deeply meaningful. In an article written by Donna Frischnecht Jackson for the Presbyterian Missions website, the Reverend Adrian Thorne remembers how in the first year she would see stars left behind in the pews, the first year they did this, and those in the congregation who knew whom the stars belonged to would pick it up and hand it back to that person. You left forgiveness on the pew. Here you go. Thorne also noticed how during pastoral visits that year, the star words would often come up, helping someone in the congregation reframe a challenging experience or reminding them of God's loving presence just when they needed it the most. You see, it's not so much that the star words are magical, she says, as mystical, a way for the Spirit to shed light on the ups and downs of our lives and to help us feel more connected to God. Approach this practice with the belief that the Word has found you, she says. In 2019, the word that found Reverend Thorne was fun. The busy minister and mother didn't think much about the word until her then 9-year-old daughter wrote "be" in front of it. Be fun not only meant more mother-daughter time, but it also led Thorne to recommit to the passions that had fallen by the wayside, as often happens in busy lives, right? Once a professional dancer who had performed with the Dance Theater of Harlem and been a Radio City Rockette, Thorne felt the Spirit nudging her to return to her art through this star word, through "be fun." The following year's star word would also be an eye-opener. Recreation, or as Thorne's eyes saw it, re-creation. Isn't that what we had to do in 2020, asked Thorne? We had to reimagine life together, not just in the church, but we were called to start putting back together broken pieces in new ways that are both beautiful and sustainable, she said. Recreate, recreate was the perfect word to receive. The Reverend Lynn Dunn, who pastors in White Plains, New York, explained that her congregation was a bit confused at first how to use the stars. But once it was explained how the stars were a spiritual practice, providing a word to focus on or pray over that might help you listen more intently to the Spirit's whispers, then folks got a little more interested. Dunn still remembers how her 2019 word, poetry, led her to be less didactic in her preaching and more poetic. But then 2020 rolled around and Dunn received the word show. Show? Really? Dunn asked herself. She did not remember putting that into the star word mix. Because that's the fun part, is that Christine and I got to choose the words and put them on the stars. So we know what's out there, but we don't know what we'll get or what you'll get. So she didn't remember putting the star word into the mix, yet here it was, and it was hers now. What a dumb word, she thought. But she didn't do a star swap, as some people were inclined to do when they weren't feeling their word. The Reverend Marcy Aud Glass, who pastors a church in San Francisco, strongly advises against star swapping. I tell people to trust the word they choose or that chose them. The words that have spoken to me the most have been the ones I wanted to throw back, she said. So Reverend Lynn Dunn kept her star, show, grudgingly taping it to the glass frame in her office that held her seminary degree. I might not have liked it, but I kept the word front and center, she said. At that time, Dunn was gearing up for 2020 to be a year of theological study, a time to immerse with books, books, and more books. But before she could even turn a page, COVID hit, and in-person worship ground to a halt, and Dunn, who is a Christian education and spiritual formation minister, found herself acting out Bible stories on camera for her congregation. And in that frenzy of shifting from in-person worship to online services and trying to figure out how to minister to families and teens and kids who didn't want to be on screens and didn't have time to think back about that star word that she had received in January, and Epiphany began to seem like a lifetime ago. And it wasn't until October that her word, her star word, became clear to her. She had just returned to her church office after being gone for many months. Most of us have had that experience of being away from the office and coming back. And she sat at her desk and recognized that she'd really been feeling down. You know, thinking, it's been 6 months of this. Is this what our future is going to look like? Will we ever be back in person together? And she looked up, and there was her Epiphany star, taped to the glass frame, staring back at her. Show. The word she had disliked so much shone brightly with meaning. Because that's exactly what I had been doing in 2020, she said. I was called to show the Bible stories on camera, acting them out, inviting people to experience God's stories and God's love in a new way. One more story. Reverend Shannon A. White, pastor of Wilton Presbyterian Church in Wilton, Connecticut, was equally moved by the way the Spirit was speaking to her in 2020 through her star word. She had begun offering Epiphany stars a few years before, and the words that she got, she chose two stars, were justice and delight. They were taped to her refrigerator, giving her time to pause and reflect on them daily. And as 2020 continued to be plagued by a pandemic, White kept wondering what in the world the word delight had to do with any of that. It was then that she decided to dig deeper and begin to trust the word, to trust God through the word. As the months went by, she began to realize that while living in a horrendous year, there were unexpected delights to give thanks for. White had just recently remarried, and with her college-age daughter back home due to no in-person learning, it was an opportunity for her daughter and her new husband to bond. That never would have happened had there not been a pandemic, said White, who also discovered other delights in the crisis, simple ones like spending more time in nature. Her other word, justice, keeps poking at her, she said, urging her to find ways that her upper middle class congregation in a majority white town can pursue justice, trying to figure out what that looks like. So friends, in just a moment during our last hymn, I'm gonna ask Davy and Allison to help me pass out the star words if they're still game. Not quite yet. Take your star word, just pick one out. Don't peek until you've taken it, right? Flip it over, see what your word is. And then take it home and stick it on your mirror, your fridge, somewhere in your office or near your computer. Meditate on it. Pray while holding on to it. Keep your eyes peeled for places and situations where that word shows up. Maybe literally, like you read it somewhere, or maybe that it feels like it fits for wherever you find yourself this year. Let it poke at you. Let it speak to you. Let it surprise you. Let it guide you. Let it accompany you. Just as the star and the spirit did to that motley crew of magi 2,000 years ago. So that you, like they, might have one more bright beam leading you through this year's unfamiliar territory and winding roads back home to the Christ child. Because that is what Epiphany is all about. A light to show us the way, to lend a glow to our mundane moments and to shine on our joyous celebrations. A light to illumine the shadows and befriend us in the fruitful dark. A light to lead us to the light. Arise, shine, for our light has indeed come. Amen. Friends, take your star words, find a good spot for them. I noticed that some of them got a little bit smeary before drying, so if you had one like that, feel free to just flip it over and rewrite it on the other side so you can see it better, okay? Thank you to Allison and Davey for helping pass these out. And now, go, friends, in the light. Go in the light that is shed by the star that we celebrate today. Go in the light of this star and the word that it will hold for you this year. And most of all, go in the light of Jesus, the one who lights our way, the one who walks with us, and the one who is full of exactly the gifts that we need at exactly the right moment. May we trust that it's so. Go in peace, and Happy New Year.